Welcome to Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, the podcast that brings together old pros with a custom home office, newbies working on a laptop from their couch, and those thinking about taking the leap to working from home. Hear real stories of challenges, struggles, and successes from those who live the work from home lifestyle. And along the way, pick up great tips, advice, and life hacks to make working from home both fun and productive. Now, here's your host, nationally recognized technology expert and longtime working from home professional, Marcel Brown.
Welcome back to another episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It. This is actually a bonus episode, and I call it a bonus episode because this was originally a interview that I did with my friend and business associate. Her name is Dawn Michelle. She is a Chamber of Commerce director in my area, and she also is a, as she puts it, keynote speaker, author, trainer, attitude changer. She's also written a book called Customer Service and Beyond. It is all about the wow. So anyway, I did this interview with her as part of a Chamber of Commerce series of interviews with experts. And I thought the interview went so well, and it touches upon topics of working from home and technology and pretty much everything that this podcast is about, that with her permission, I am repurposing the audio of this interview and making it this bonus episode. So please listen. It is, I think, very valuable, and enjoy.
Hi, I'm Dawn Michelle. It's Drinking with Dawn today, by the way. Drinking with Dawn today, compliments of McDonald's, of course. I'm with Marcel Brown because I'm the expert who finds experts, and I found an expert. Marcel Brown, tell us about yourself and your business.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Marcel Brown. I'm known as the most trusted name in technology. I've been in the technology industry professionally for over 25 years, and actually, as of yesterday, running my business full time 18 years. So,
wow! Congratulations.
Yeah, so my business is a legal adult now, and primarily, I've been in the, like I said, IT business industry since for over 25 years. And did my time in the corporate world, but for the last 18 years, I've been focusing on small businesses and individuals in their homes, which is really, really relevant today now that so many people are working from home rather unexpectedly.
And sort of pushed into that. I know for me, you know, I did video here and there, did Zoom a little bit, did some webinars, but now I feel like, wow, it's come a long way. But I have to tell you about the first time that we really just sat down and chatted. It was after an after hours that we had and we're chatting. And what I was so impressed with was you can use big words. You could use the biggest words ever, but you were able, I could just ask you anything about technology and you were able to put it in a way, an analogy that I could answer. And I think that's what I appreciate so much about you is that you can find how everyone can understand. So that's why we have you today, because we're gonna ask that you tell us, what do we need at home? What kind of technology is really gonna help us out?
Okay, well, I'll start, I'll sum it up basically as best as I can, because right. The number one thing you need is good, reliable, solid internet. And there's two main aspects to that. Number one is the internet that's coming to your house, whether that's through a cable modem, whether that's through a wireless tower, whether that's DSL, whatever method you need to get internet to your house, that has to be reliable and fast enough. Then the second part is your home network, which is basically your wireless router and or wireless network system. So you can have the most up-to-date, high-powered network in your home, but if the internet feed coming to your home is slow or unreliable, it's like having a race car that you're feeding it bad gasoline. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to go. It's not going to perform well unless you have given it good fuel. So if we think of your internet connection to your home as your fuel, then have a good in-home network. And what I've been observing for years, but it's really come to the forefront now, is that people is trying to work from home and they realize their internet is not anywhere near as good as they thought. And a lot of times that is unfortunately the fact that they've got not great internet coming to their house, which is much more often the case in, say, a rural area where you don't have the infrastructure to get the high-speed internet and the reliable internet. So that can be a problem. And unfortunately, if you live in a particular area, you just may not have great internet options. If that's really hard to resolve, all I can say is for future, before people move into a house or before people get into a commercial building, you've got to know what kind of internet you're able to get there. It's virtually as important as does it have running water and electricity? I mean, so we need to make sure we're checking on those things. If you do have relatively good internet, then the next thing, like I said, is your home network. And there's a lot of people that are using older equipment, older wireless technologies, and that may have not been such a big deal before. But now if you are reliant on, say, video conferencing or cloud control services, this different things like that, it can be a bigger problem. So generally what I recommend is make sure you've got good internet to your home. Make sure you've got a more modern, up-to-date wireless network. And especially if you've got a larger building or maybe buildings that are older and made with materials such as, say, plaster that tend to absorb radio signals, you've got to look at more modern, what are called mesh networks, which use multiple radios put throughout a building to create one seamless wireless network. So that's the first step, is really getting your internet rock solid and your home network rock solid.
You know, the one thing, I remote in. So when I sit at my computer, it's like I'm at the chamber office, and mm-hmm. that's the addition, is you have to have that end as well. Because if anybody's, you know, not working together, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
Great advice. It sounds like something to add to your realtor questions, like mm-hmm. you buy a house, you know, how many bedrooms, does it have good internet? And that's really something that people that build houses need to know. We've been really lucky where we live to have it, but I have friends who have no internet or dial up, heaven forsakes, dial up. Remember that? Yeah. Sometimes they have to figure that out. All right. What other tips do you have?
Okay. So besides your internet, the next thing is your actual computing device, which years ago, most people had laptops. Now, in the last 10 years, with tablets and smartphones doing what they do, a lot of people, their traditional desktop computer, which includes laptops in my terminology, they've let just go by the wayside, and they're using their phones and their tablets. And if that works for you, great. Obviously, more modern technologies like the iPad Pro with keyboard and that sort of thing are really, really solid devices. But for a lot of people, really having a good laptop or a desktop with a webcam is pretty important. So what I'm seeing is that a lot of people have held on to their laptops, which is great, because if they're not using them as much, no need to have purchased a new laptop. But a lot of laptops can be with a little bit of upgrades, primarily a technology called a solid state drive. Upgrading those can really make an older laptop, say even laptops up to about 10 years old or so, actually function very well. So it's not necessarily that you need to buy a whole new laptop necessarily. It is evaluate what you have and see if there are cost-effective ways to bring it up to date, so to speak. And like I said, the technology of the last 10 years as far as desktop computers and laptops really hasn't evolved all that much to the point where older technology can still be very useful, but it's just a matter of looking at the computing you have now, evaluating it, and seeing if it is available for a cost-effective upgrade that can keep you going for a few more years, or should we take that money and just put it towards a new computer?
And I think that's where you come in as far as a new computer. You know, I can pick somewhere and where they got this great computer on sale, but when I get it home, I realize it's not very fast. It doesn't have enough memory. Oh, it's going to be another $100, another $200. To me, it would be worth going through you just because you can find the one that I really need by asking a few questions when the other people, they just want to make a sale.
Right. So it's a little bit of advice can go a long way, especially mm-hmm. when it's a question of, do I upgrade what I have now or should I put the money towards a new one? There's pros and cons either way, and it just depends on a case-by-case basis. So definitely worth talking to someone like myself, anyone that is a trusted technology expert that can give you some good advice.
I have a desktop, I have a laptop, I have an iPad, I have all, and they're all connected. I actually have someone who helps me with that. I always say, if I have a toothache, I don't go to the chiropractor, and I also don't pull it out myself. I find an expert. And I think that a lot of people in their life can look back and go, man, I probably should have got some advice on that or help on that. I believe every company should have a budget and a line item for IT software and hardware. Do you agree?
Absolutely. It's like, you know, I use the analogy a lot of an attorney. You don't sign a contract without having an attorney review it. You don't go to court without an attorney. You don't make big business decisions without consulting with your attorney or say a CPA or what, you know, you use business experts. And it's just that people are familiar with attorneys. People are familiar with accountants. People just aren't as familiar with the concept of a technology expert like myself, one who is very well versed in the technologies that small businesses use. And so they just don't know that even to talk to me. So, but yeah, definitely companies that use their advisors, whether it's technology or legal or accounting or whatever, are going to do a lot better because they're getting the expertise they need and ultimately saving time and money usually.
And I find that anything that I would pay you would probably be able to help me make that money up somewhere with getting me the right equipment that I don't get nickeled and dimed later on having to buy it. So I have a webcam. That's what I have now on my laptop right now. And when I went to buy my computer, my IT person said, man, I'm thinking that you're probably at some point going to need that. Well, that right there saved me from buying an external one and whatever. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that 10 years ago, we probably didn't have a line item for maybe 15 years ago for software and hardware. We didn't have a line item for cell phone usage, but you know, times change.
Absolutely.
And so what else do you recommend with us working at home?
Well, you just mentioned it. You said that you have a variety of devices and they're all kind of seamlessly tied together. Mm-hmm. That is probably one of the best things we can do for ourselves is to make sure that all our devices work seamlessly together. So a lot of cloud services basically make that possible. So for example, say the cloud service Dropbox, it's a file sharing service basically. So you can install Dropbox on a desktop, get all your data synchronized with the Dropbox cloud. Now you can access that data from your phone or your tablet, or if you're at a client or somewhere, friends or family, you can still log on and get to your data. So that's a very simple example. One of the nicer, real nice things that I use a lot is all my Apple devices. So I've got a Mac, Apple laptop, I've got an iPhone, I've got an iPad. When someone sends me a message, a text message, I can respond to it from my computer. I don't have to get my phone out and look at my phone and do that. I can just simply look over at my screen, see the notification, tap on it, type a response on my keyboard, nice and fast, send it and keep working. So those types of integrations can be very productive and very time saving. So again, it depends on what you do. What do you consider productivity? You know, people, how are they working? Some people do a lot of phone calls. So that type of work can be integrated, again, phone integration with your computer. And some people like myself do a lot of texting. So it is nice to have that function to where I can just respond right from my keyboard. I don't have to stop what I'm doing as much to get a phone out and look at it. I can just see it, respond, keep doing what I'm doing. So little things like that, a lot of cloud services, a lot of those types of things are really probably the key to staying as productive as possible.
We use Google Docs for our, for example, we're calling all of our members and a lot of people are doing that. So we have a Google Doc sitting out there and it's live. And the hardest thing for me is to try to realize I don't have to save it. Like I want to save, you know, I'm going to save, but it literally is up in the cloud. And so as the interns call, as board members call, it's been great. We use Dropbox a whole lot for like the Bradley Smith run. All the committee is on there with the Dropbox. So as changes are made, it alerts us. A lot of good stuff out there. Dropbox is free. We don't pay for it. You get a little bit, you know, you might have to pay a little bit if you wanted more, but as a team working, you know, not just trying to connect, that Google Doc is something people need to look at. It's really easy. I mean, I thought it was, but you know, it's so funny. I email myself before I go out for the first couple of times, because I was like, this isn't going to save. I did all that work, but it really does save. And I can get it on my phone. I can get it on my laptop. I can, you know, so it's been really helpful. And, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to change back from some of these.
Right. Exactly.
They're really great.
And you bring up the great point there. You just mentioned your apprehension at first.
Yeah.
And that's very natural. A lot of people have that sort of reaction when they go to any new technology. And what has happened now is that suddenly everyone's been forced, in effect, to use all these modern technologies that we've had for years. Some people were taking great advantage of them, but others weren't, because there was a lot of apprehension, whether that was, I just don't know, or it's not familiar to me, or I've not tested it, or whatever the excuses were. Those are all out the window, because so many of us have been forced to go to virtual meetings, to use remote technologies, to use cloud-based technologies in this last month time frame, that, yeah, now when things return to normal, well, now there is a new normal, because now those excuses are out the window. So, you know, for myself, I've been driving so much less. I've only had to fill up with gas, I think, once in the last month, you know. So we're seeing a lot of benefits from using these technologies. And now that people have been forced to get used to them, I don't think there is going to be a going back. So there will be some pushback, and, you know, obviously face-to-face meetings, you can't replace those, but I think we've seen that you can do a lot more with the technology than people were making use of before. So I don't think that's going to go away. This is definitely an important time in history that will have kind of jump-started people's use of remote technologies and then this sort of thing to really take advantage of it more. So I think in the next year, we're going to see probably kind of a tech resurgence as people probably buy more webcams or buy new laptops or upgrade their tablets or whatever they need to do when they realize, well, we're going to be doing a lot more of this now, so I need to get up to speed on this.
And this is a really good example, because why couldn't I have done this with you 3 years ago? Well, because I saw you in person. And I, you know, but now I can share this with everyone who needs to know. I was talking with someone yesterday about interviewing, and they've been interviewing people on Zoom. And I said, how's that working? And they said, you know, it's not bad. In fact, the interviewee is a little less nervous maybe, but the funniest part is the background.
Yeah.
Because people aren't thinking in terms of background, you know, so I have a white screen here.
Right.
So you might have, like, he said, there's like stuff piled up behind, and he said, and as much as you don't want to judge that, that's the first impression. And so right. I'm thinking there's going to need to be a class on what to do and what not to do. I've seen some stuff out there, you know, some ideas, but nothing really concrete. So I think I'm going to jump on it. I think I'm going to be that person to do the, what I'm a really good what not to do. Cause if I pulled this away, you would see behind, but I actually bought this. We've created some backgrounds for Zoom. You can put, and it's going to have the chamber logo up here. And so, you know, we've been forced to be creative, but I have to tell you, I'm not hating every part of it. I've been working well from home. In fact, we just finished our staff meeting. Our intern flew to Omaha because she is going back to school actually, and just got there. So she's on Zoom, and Cash, one of our interns, is stuck at SIU because he's from Jamaica.
Okay.
He has nowhere to go. And so to have that ability to communicate and just to get, just to share your knowledge with everyone, you know, we just, in some respect, if you try to look at the good, it was a kick in the butt in technology, don't you think?
Right. Absolutely. And unfortunate as it is, all we can do is take the positives out of it. Mm-hmm. So the silver lining here is, it's changed the way people do business. Mm-hmm. It's changed the way people communicate. And again, it wasn't even that this stuff was new. It's been here for a few years. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've been forced to become comfortable with it. And now that most people are comfortable with it, there's no more excuses for why can't we do this meeting over Zoom? You absolutely can. We just spent a whole month or more doing it. So welcome to the future.
Beyond Zoom, do you have any other, we're going to look at a couple of different ones. Not that we don't love Zoom, but you know, we're a nonprofit. We have no money. We have no income coming in. So we need to look for free. StreamYard was one that someone recommended. You know, we had our first BBB and CBC this month, but we want to put people in rooms. So we go to Zoom and it's $40. And I know $40 doesn't sound like a lot, but for us, we have no income. It's a lot. Sure. Do you have any other recommendations?
It seems like a lot of companies are offering some sort of free trials or certain things depending on nonprofit status. So that's probably what I would kind of review first.
If you're a nonprofit, go to TechSoup.
So, but I have seen that I think Microsoft is giving away their Teams for free, Teams service for free for at least a while. I don't know the length of that. And ultimately it is kind of, you do kind of get what you pay for in a lot of these things, but at least for the short term, a lot of companies are providing free trials, free, you know, maybe free pro accounts or whatever. So you, if you have a free service, you can do the pro service for free for a while, that sort of thing. So that's what I would look at. As far as the actual technology goes, you know, Zoom is pretty good technology. Google Hangouts has been, I've been on a few calls with that, and it works pretty decently. It seemed like the video quality maybe wasn't as good as Zoom, but that may have just been those particular meeting setups. Like I said, Microsoft Teams seems to be a well-known
quantity. Do you have to have 365 for that?
Well, I think normally you do.
Okay.
But I think during this time, they're, again, offering it for free, which is smart on Microsoft's part, because if you get people used to a particular platform, then they're going to want to stick with it. And
they're pretty smart at Microsoft,
Yeah, well, all these companies that are giving stuff away for free right now are just, it's really in their own best interest. So
yeah, it's like a trial run to, for money later.
Yep, exactly. Get people used to your platform, and hopefully they'll stick around. So as far as video conferencing goes, you know, obviously Apple FaceTime is a good option if you're just trying to do one-on-one communication. Zoom is really good because you can record things easier. And so that's, I think, why Zoom has become so popular over the last few years, because there were other platforms like WebEx and Cisco, or maybe that was WebEx, I'm forgetting which names were which. But Zoom really in the last few years kind of became the big name because I think they were easy to use and had features and a reasonable pricing. So we'll see how this all shakes out, because obviously Zoom got some bad publicity, but at the same time, they're still kind of the household name when it comes to work-related video conferencing like we're doing now.
As soon as they got the bad name, what I loved about it was they owned it and they changed it. And so when a company can do that, people remember that. And, you know, I like it. It's easy. Again, TechSoup.com, if you're a nonprofit 501c3, they have a lot of discounts. And for us, we got it, I don't know if we got it like $64 a year. We did the pro because we started with the free, but we have too many people in our events. For the Apple FaceTime, we have family night every Wednesday. And of course we could get together. So we ended up looking like the Brady Bunch up there, the four of us. And, you know, you can make faces and it's kind of fun. But that's definitely something to think about for your family. Because I think we're talking business, but honestly, Tracy, Bianco had her whole family on it, and then she put them all in rooms, and and you know, the fact that I can mute my mom, I hope she's not watching this, that you can mute people is fun. But don't you think that people can use technology personally as well?
Absolutely. And it really all blends together. And the fact that I've been doing small business and in-home technology, because that's been just, you know, the thing that I'm passionate about, there's a lot of overlap in things like, say, today, home automation. If with the idea that older people maybe don't have as many helpers coming around, you know, having their home automated is really a big deal. It's not just a luxury. And with the warnings we're getting about, you know, don't touch things as much. Well, if you can voice command your lights and you don't have to touch light switches, that just might make you that much safer, which again, if you're older and more at risk, that's a really big deal. So it's, there are many things you can do from home, obviously, as well. Using the technology to stay connected is very important. I've been talking for years about how online video games and social media are actually making us more connected, because it's easier to be connected with people in a virtual format than it is necessarily face-to-face. And like I said, face-to-face is never going to be replaced, But if you can augment it with more virtual connection, you know, because right now we're looking at each other, and really it's studies have shown that being able to see someone's face and communicate face to face, even though it's a virtual thing, is really the next best thing to being there. And so we should use the technology to stay as connected as possible. And while, again, it's never going to replace that human face-to-face connection, or obviously, you know, with a family actually touching and that sort of thing, it's going to be a great way to stay more connected, so that in between the times you have that personal connection, you stay connected more. And I think that is what we're going to discover that comes out of all this, is that if we do use the technology during normal times, we're going to be more connected than ever before. And it's a good supplement for those times when things happen and we can't be together for an extended time.
It was week 3. I was home. Miles works during the day, so I'm home during the day. And we did our first, I guess it was an ambassador meeting. And when I saw all the people pop up on those familiar faces on there, like, the inside of me had joy. And I realized how much, because, you know, every day I meet a bunch of people, and just to see their face, hear their voice, talk about where they're at, helped. You know, we had our BBB yesterday, and just to see the members that I hadn't seen in, it seems like a year, honestly,
right,
this February, but it brings you joy. So I encourage people to also, if you have someone that has a smartphone, that maybe is older, but they have a smartphone, somehow get that Zoom or get Google or whatever on there so that they can communicate. And that's a whole new world for someone who's not done that.
Yeah. And really, some technology, like, you know, Apple technology, if they've got an iPhone, very likely their FaceTime works. So
yeah,
try it and go from there. And
love most, my iPhone.
Yeah. And most, and most people, most older people probably do have iPhones, and generally speaking, the people that have Android type phones are a little more techie anyway. So, yeah, doesn't hurt to try to communicate with people and test the FaceTime and those types of things. And it's really not hard to say, download something like Skype. It's pretty easy to download on most smartphones. And, you know, that's a cross platform way of staying in video communication.
Any final thoughts? You've been so helpful, Marcel. I can't wait until everybody gets to see all of the great information. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Basically, we've talked a lot about the actual technology, but don't forget about ergonomics, because if you're going to be spending a lot more time in front of a computer, get a good desk, get a good chair, do a little research on the way you should arrange your keyboard and mouse so that you're not going to do the repetitive stress injuries that can come from that. So don't forget about your ergonomics and that. Take care of yourself. Get up, walk around. You know, all those tips you've probably heard in the past and have ignored. It's really going to be important if you are sitting at home for extended amount of time to take care of your body and set up a workstation that's going to be very conducive to you. Look at getting a second monitor. Even if you have a laptop, you can set up a second screen. Yep. Once you get used to using two screens, it's hard.
Oh man, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Larger monitors are nice because it kind of has that effect of feeling like two screens if you can kind of split the way you use a bigger monitor. But yeah, take care of yourself. Look at the technology to make your workspace as comfortable as possible.
For a long time, I'd say a year, I've been time blocking, and it's been helping a lot. And I do 48-12. So 48 minutes, the alarm goes off. I get up, I walk, I go to the bathroom, whatever I want to do for 12 minutes. So for 48, that I'm very structured. And I think that's helped a lot of the ergonomic of getting up. Because otherwise I could sit here, honestly, for 5 hours and not even, and lose track of time and go. Yep. So, you know, yeah.
I'm like that too.
And you know me well enough to know that we're not going to just end it for a regular interview. We've got to ask some questions. So I have this or that. So this is
all right.
A really short game. You
sounds
ready?
Good. Yep.
Coffee or tea?
Tea, I guess. I don't really drink either all that much.
Water, right?
Yep.
Pizza or pasta?
Ooh, both are good. Probably pasta.
Rock and roll or country?
Rock and roll.
I'm ready for this one. Apple or Android?
Apple, of course.
You are the Apple guy. You know all the Apple stuff. All right. And if you don't know this one, I'm going to delete the recording. Barry Manilow or Barry Manilow?
Barry Manilow, I think we'll have
to go.
The
man, Marcel. Thank you for joining me for Drinking with Dawn. And you've been extremely, extremely helpful today. And I can't wait to get this out. We're going to have all of your information at the bottom of this video, as well as any links that you might send us. And I would encourage people to give you, an email, a call, anything, correct?
Yeah, anything. Texting, if it's urgent, is probably the best way to go, or a phone call. Sometimes, obviously, emails go to spam and that sort of thing. So if you do send me an email and you don't get a response, feel free to text or just start with the texting.
Great. Thank you for your time, Marcel, and hope to see you in person pretty soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Marcel. Take care.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode of Working from Home and Living to Tell About It. I want to again thank Dawn Michelle for interviewing me and allowing me to share my wisdom with everyone. One of the funny things I took from this interview was it was done in April of 2020. And at the time, I think I mentioned that we thought maybe it would only be about a month of this lockdown. So looking back now, we were unfortunately a little bit naive, but live and learn, I guess. So anyway, thanks again for listening. See you on the next episode. And until then, keep on working from home and living to tell about it.
Thank you for listening to the Working from Home and Living to Tell About It podcast with Marcel Brown. For more information about the episode you just listened to, visit workingfromhomepodcast.com. Please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and share this podcast with your friends and family who work from home. See you on the next episode of Working from Home and Living to Tell About It.